Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy, and we're welcoming you right in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard, live here tonight, transmitting tonight on two frequencies, ladies and gentlemen, 3185 WWRB per channel around the world, and 5050. So that's on Galaxy 1, 3185, Galaxy 2, on 5050, if you'd like to go up to the internet. We're transmitting also around the world on Clear Channel Internet. You can download us at WWRB website. Just go to Galaxy 1 and or Galaxy 2. And we're glad to have you aboard here tonight. We've got a great message, part 3 of The Worlds Before Adam. We want you to stay tuned, and we want you to enjoy the program. And we're going to get right into the message here because, you know, ladies and gentlemen, housed in a warehouse in Inca, Peru, is a collection of stone tablets which carry pictures portraying advanced medical practices and procedures. The tablets were first seen and recorded by Father Simon, a Jesuit missionary who accompanied Pizarro in 1525, and amongst other scenes that were portrayed are pictures of what appeared to be a Caesarean surgery, blood transfusions, as well as the use of acupuncture needles, and detailed images of what appeared to be open heart surgery. Amazing. This is amazing. Now, this was 1525 when these tablets were discovered, and nobody knows, actually. I think they've been carbon dated to Mac at least 800 or 900 years prior to that. The tablets are not just anomalies. They open a Pandora's box of questions and challenge everything that has been taught to us about our past. It's becoming increasingly evident, ladies and gentlemen, that our notions of human history are not simply mistaken, but in need of total overhaul. Some type of history that's been given us is wrong. What we believe about our present, to look back to the past, is not what the past is giving us a clear indication from these tablets. Over the past two centuries, now listen to this, and you're going to enjoy tonight because we're going to lay some deep, comprehensive revelations to your the table and put in your plate, and it's not going to be milk, but it's going to be the meat that bringeth understanding and things of this nature that would help you understand the basic fundamentals of the Creator. Now, we know that the Creator in the very beginning created the heavens and the earth. We know that. And we also know that Adam was not the first man. We know that he's a replacement. We did that in part two. We know that he was to replenish. That's replace something that existed prior to him. And we feel like it was the family of Adam. We think Adam is a code word here for a family of high intelligent beings, spiritual beings, ladies and gentlemen. Light bodies, sound bodies. Not as much as physical as it is spiritual. And that's what Yahweh is wanting you to accomplish down here on your mission, is to find the gateway to the spiritual realm of the fifth dimension. And if you can find that realm, we know that there will be revelations that will come to you that will actually stagger you and your physical being. The Bible says that there's things that are hidden from the wise and the prudent. These are the flesh people that try to, you know, they use religion as a stepping stone to further their careers on the planet. Most preachers today just get into preaching business because it's lucrative and it pays good. It's got a retirement and things of this nature. You know, I've never taken a salary from a church. I've never had the first payday from a church. What I receive today for my ministry is by spirit beings that know the value of the teaching, and they contributed to my ministry to keep me on the radio and to keep this revelation coming forth from the spirit worlds before Adam. That's what we want to concentrate on tonight. If you look at the let me give you some conventional archaeologists and anthropologists, and spite of the fact that it is considerable evidence to the contrary of the academic consensus that maintains that the ancestor of a modern man emerged 1 million years ago, whilst modern man, Homo sapiens, only emerged as a dominant planetary life form some 40,000 years ago. And these are misconceptions. We have the case of the two metal spears that I'm going to tell you about. These two metal spears were found by miners in the western Transvaal, South Africa. And over the past few decades, miners in the same area have come across more metal spears. They were often grooved in layers of sedimentation estimated at, listen to this now, this is stagger you. Now these are metal spears. They are estimated by the best scientific measurement of time at 2.8 billion years old. Now, according to Rommel Marx, the curator of the Klingstrup Museum, where they are kept, the spears are a complete mystery. There's nothing like them in the world that anyone has ever seen. Moreover, the spears are so hard that they cannot be scratched, even with a hard metal point, with pressure applied. In 1979, several were closely examined by J.R. McLevar, professor of genealogy at the University of Westerrand in Joburg, South Africa, and Andries Bischoff, geology professor at Apashefrum University in South Africa, and what they found only deepened the mystery. These are averaging 1 to 4 inches in diameter. The spears are usually colored steel blue with tiny flecks of white fibers embedded in them. They were found to be made of nickel steel alloy, which does not occur naturally, and is of such a composition that excludes any meteoric origin, such as from outer space. Quite simply, they do not fit any conventional prehistoric timescale. Now, isn't that amazing? 2 billion years. Now, I told you in part two that the Earth is estimated by the great scientific minds of the day, if we have any of those, at 4.5 billion years at the least. These spears, these balls of steel, they are estimated 8 billion years old. Now, who made these? Where'd it come from? Now, let's go back to prehistory. Again, likewise, an early Paleolithic skull on display in London's Natural History of Museum would seem to defy all conventional archaeology. Dated at 38,000 years and excavated in 1921 in modern Zambia, the skull bears a perfect round hole about a third of an inch in diameter on its left side. Opposite the hole, the cranium is shattered and reconstructed of the fragments, or reconstruction of the fragments, show that the skull was smashed from the inside out, as if it were from a bullet wound. Forensic experts who have examined the skull all agree that the carnal damage could have only been caused by a high-speed projectile. So the fact that the skull was excavated from a depth of 60 feet of mostly lead rock only deepens the mystery. Now listen to this. Just as baffling is the case of the iron pot found in a block of coal. Now you know how much pressure and what age that coal is formed by all the experts that tell us that coal is an ancient mineral that has decomposed and formed what we now call coal. And it's mined all over the earth. And strange objects has been found buried and embedded in the coal mines around the world. It was a block, in a block of coal, they found an iron pot. Thus, according to an affidavit made by Frank J. Kenwood in 1912, while I was working in the municipal electric plant in Thomas, Oklahoma, in 1912, I came upon a solid chunk of coal, which was too large to use. I took a sledgehammer and broke it open, and the iron pot fell from the center, leaving the impression or mold of the pot in the piece of coal. I traced the source of the coal and found it came from Wilmington, Oklahoma. According to Robert O. Fay of the Oklahoma Geological Survey, the Wilmington coal mine is about 312 million years old. Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on here? Worlds before our own. Did Adam just start the world? Or is Adam a replacement for those who perished in the worlds before Adam? And the Bible would seem to indicate that the masters, or the commander-in-chief, I like to call him, the big guy, the eternal spirit, the creator of all things, and the helpers. See, I talked about the helpers, and I'm going to get into that in just a moment, because that really, it's fascinating to think that we're not alone. And any Bible-believing Christian that's worth his salt would know that we're not. Here's the Messiah saying that he came from above. Where? Did he just pop out of a little air bubble? Or is the Bible correct that before the world was, he is? Now we're talking about a man that incarnated in a flesh body, but the Bible tells us that if you really believe you're a Christian, please believe Hebrews 1 and 8. Please believe John 1 and 1. And John 1 and 10. And John 1 and 14. Believe that. Believe St. John 14, verse 7 and 8. Believe that. If you're a Christian, you're obligated to believe the Word, which is a strong tower And the Bible said, you know what it says? It says, the righteous run into it, and they're safe. Yahweh is a strong tower of understanding. That the power is the understanding of who He is. Now, John 4:24 said He's the Spirit. So the eternal Spirit that created heaven and earth decided. Now, here's what He decided, because you see, ladies and gentlemen, He had so much pain and trouble and sorrow trying to convey His message to His prophets, the ones He chose. And what did He do? Every time He would speak or come down, the earth would shake and the heavens would tremble at His presence. Man would literally shake on the bone. Well, what about this? Where do we go from here? Well, the Father, the Eternal Spirit, made a statement. He said, a body Thou hast prepared Me. Now, this body was prepared from the foundation of the world. And it appeared periodically in and out of this dimension. Now, we're in the third dimension. And here came a solid object appearing in a flesh body in Genesis repeatedly. Particularly when He chose Abraham, He started walking with Abraham. Now, can you imagine a spirit walking? The spirit don't have to walk. The spirit is everywhere. The spirit knows everything. But here was a manifested being that Abraham even washed His feet. It's amazing. Here in Genesis 18, it is stated that Yahweh came down in a pre-existing body, and that He was a normal human being. He looked to Abraham. He really didn't know who He was when He looked over the plains of Moriah and sat under the oak tree, and He saw in the Passover season. Now they were. It's proven that they were keeping Passover there, and Abraham was keeping it long before Moses got the instruction to keep the Passover, and it's a symbol of the Lamb's blood. That's what the Passover's about. And so then it was stated that a body He had prepared Himself to die as a lamb for the sins of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, it is awesome to know that we're passed from death to life, that we've got a love of a family unit. If you've been born from above, not again now. Now, people that's born again just have a false sense of security. They have a way that seems right. But people that are born from above, these are the people that know that they've passed from death to life. Because they've got a family knitted. It's something in the heart. Once you meet a brother or sister that you are familiar as a light being, and you recognize them as a light being, there is an instant bond, unbreakable. This bond is full of joy and gladness when we meet each other. You know what the Bible said? Forget not to entertain strangers. Abraham didn't forget when he looked up at the plains and out came these three men walking. Was it perhaps like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in the fire and they saw that four figure come walking? And when they were taken out of the fiery furnace that was heated seven times hotter than it should have been, they killed the men that even threw them in. There was not even a smell of fire. And you think that our Creator don't know what's going on today, that His eyes don't run through and, to and fro in the earth, and that He can answer all of these questions that we have that come before Him in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye? That Yahweh is a strong tower, ladies and gentlemen. He is a very strong tower. And the Bible said, the righteous run into it and are safe. And I hope and trust that you can see and comprehend that we're older than 6 6,000 years of the present age that we have in time history and genealogy, that we can go back to the present last Adam and prove that there was a pre-existing Adam family, along with the beast of the field and the creatures and the things in the sea. Now, we know that there's been periodic catastrophes and calamities that's come upon this earth to basically give us what we describe as hell upon this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in an age of time that this is so perilous. Now, I'm going to tell you why. I'm not talking about the actual destruction of the earth physically. I am talking about almost the complete takeover of the reptilians. These are the ones that fell through transgression, and there became an ensuing war, a hostility, if you will. All over the earth there is accounts as we look into the heavens as evidence that there has been battles on other planets. Let's take Mars. We know at one time it's been proven, it's actually been proven, and it's also been accepted by the scientific community that perhaps, just perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, that somebody lived on that planet ages ago. Could you comprehend that? Now, that's why the Bible said that the worlds were created, not the world. Not a singular earth, because earth is just one of perhaps, and I say this with reservation because I know it's going to sound like I'm stretching this, but in all of the vast areas of space, to think that we're the only living species in the whole universe, we'd have to have our heads examined and confess that we're not Christians. Like I say, if you really believe the Bible and you know that you pass from death to life, you have an understanding, you've been illuminated with the light, and that's what Yahweh wants you to have. He wants you to have the light, and the Word is a lamp to the feet. So these things are given in, actually they're given in parables. They are given in basic analogies so that the carnal mind could be deceived. The Bible said, if the gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now let me repeat that. If this gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, where do we turn? Where do we turn to find the things that are hidden to be revealed? Now, he said he wouldn't reveal anything except first he revealed it to the prophets. You can't get this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. Yahweh has defined and put in place the operation key codes that he uses his prophets and his apostles to reveal and unveil the true message for the people of this day. All of the ages had a prophet to reveal. And all the ages into the actual coming of the last day, when we'll all have the perfect knowledge, when we'll all come to understanding. Here we see through the veil of the flesh world, and we see through the absence, if you will, of the understanding. And so then, prophets are used to explain the parables and to reveal the hidden mysteries. But if the gospel is not revealed to you, it's because you're lost. Now, if you are a bona fide child of the king. You could still be lost and not know him. You see, he comes seeking you. Let's say that perhaps you're not seeking him. But the Bible says if you will seek, ask, and knock, we just did a program on that, by the way, on the first anniversary launch here on 3.185 on Saturday night. That was our first message, to see, to ask, and to knock. If you need knowledge, ask for it, and Yahweh will send you a two-legged angel in flesh. He will send you somebody that will basically reveal to you the hidden mysteries of the Word. That's what he'll do. He'll send somebody. He never really gives you anything except he first gives it to the prophets. You see that? So then, these great mysteries of time, these things that have been kept hidden from the foundation of the world, is now in the last days ready to be revealed. But let me warn you, these beings that are so deceiving, these mighty ones, they dwell somewhere outside the realm of the third dimension. But they can as well visit in flesh bodies. They can come in and out of this dimension at will. And the Bible says they can take captive at will. If so be that you are weak and you are caught up in the things of the world, you've not prayed up, you've not fasted, you've not sought his presence. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes a dedicated believer to go all the way. Those that put their hands to the plow and look back are not fit for the kingdom principles. You must press toward the mark. You must seek Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you must do that first. Most people want to amass a fortune, then trust in the riches, and then get real religious. They start paying tithes, and they start going to church. And all they get is a sermon that just lulls them back to sleep so that they could be destroyed for the lack of knowledge. If you want down-to-earth simplicity, if you want the power of the Word, if you want the spoken revelation, you must turn inwardly to seek that which cometh from above. And then Yahweh will send you the aids of spiritual likeness into your presence. He will give you the likeness of faith. He will give you the likeness of knowledge. He will give you the likeness of courage. And he will bring the light so bright into your life that you will be hated for his namesake. And even your own wife, yea, even your own wife, or yea, even your own husband, or yea, even your own daughter, or yea, even your own son, or your own children, or your offspring, or your relatives. A man's foes will turn, when you turn to Yahweh, your foes will be those of your own household. And it's strange that Yahweh could enlighten someone within a home that is failed to be enlightened as a home. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is wanting us as husband and wife to be united together and believe all things and pray and fast and seek him. Just say, Father, put your name on our heart. Put your name on our door. Did you know the Bible says to write these things and hang them up on the doorpost? Talking to a brother and sister just this past week. Well, actually it was this week. And we were talking about that very same thing. To mark your territory with a name. Oh my, build you an altar and put the name there. That's so powerful. And it brings a sense of your courage to stand up in an evil world that would accuse you even being in witchcraft if you practice the concepts of light being. And even your own children could turn against you or one or the other of the mate, or be it male or female. You see, it causes trouble in the flesh. Yahweh didn't come to bring, he didn't come to bring peace, he came to bring division with the revelation. As far back as in the 1800s, artifacts were being unearthed which defy conventional archaeology. Ladies and gentlemen, in 1871, William E. Duobolos of the Smithsonian Institute reported that there was found several man-made objects while drilling a well in Marshall County, Illinois. Using a common ground auger, a number of coin-like objects were recovered from a depth of 114 feet. And at that depth, the Illinois State Geological Survey estimates the deposits were made sometime between 200 and 400,000 years ago and coins embedded. 400,000 years ago. What about these three men that visited Abraham? What kind of message did they bring? Yahweh separated Abraham. He sent the other two angels, of course, in the 19th chapter, if you read that event of that event, he sent the other two angels over to deliver Lot and destroy Sodom, the city of Sodom, and the city of Gomorrah, the two cities that had turned evil and perverted, just like most of our great cities of the earth today are now as perverted as is Sodom and Gomorrah, and yet Yahweh's not come. Why? What would provoke someone to say, Yahweh delays his coming? Well, isn't that what they're saying today? Oh, don't worry about that, man. I've been hearing that all my life. It don't bother me no more to hear that. It used to scare me, but, I'm immune from that. He didn't come when these false prophets said he was going to come. We go back to certain religious groups that have prophesied the end of the world, and they sold their possessions and went up on the mountain to wait on him, and that didn't happen. Now we've got a bunch of penny lace preachers preaching a rapture to get out of Dodge when they themselves live more wicked than the Dodge that they're wanting to get out of, or part of the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're part of the problem, you're going to be part of the solution, because you're always coming to take vengeance on them that obey not the gospel and have not this revelation. 114 feet, 200,000 to 400,000 years. The Geological Survey of the state of Illinois estimated that the deposits and the coins were somewhere between 200 and 400,000 years. Were those same angels that visited Abraham? Yahweh was the center man. He was flanked by the two angels. That was Michael and Gabriel, ladies and gentlemen. And wow, did they have to run in pairs? Well, the Bible said that a threefold cord is not easily broken. And it's better to have someone to walk with than to go by yourself. Yahweh always sent his prophets out two by two. And that wasn't by chance. That was by choice. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, you let every word be established. Yahweh will always give you a witness, strong witnesses. And I've had several strong witnesses to my ministry, to which I'm grateful for those who support my cause and give me a voice on WWRB 3.185 to bring you these deepened revelations that you won't hear in your Sunday school class. You won't hear it down at the Painty Waste Preacher pulpit. You'll only hear this exclusive message tonight from Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call and those who support it to bring you up to speed that we are much, much older, both physically, mentally, and spiritually, than you'd ever comprehend, and so is the earth that you stand on right now. The earth hides the sins of the past. And these sins, and the Bible said, be sure your sins find you out, and believe you me, they will. They'll come and hunt you down. They'll visit you in the night season. They will humble you. They will make you call on Yahweh and lay on your face and fast and pray for deliverance. Artifacts in Marshall County, Illinois is 400,000 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, it is, well, just like this. A man that lived north of Heavener, Oklahoma, was in a mine shaft that he said was 2 miles deep. The mine was so deep that they had to let them down in an elevator. They pumped air down, and it was so deep that after blasting, the miners came across what appeared to be concrete blocks, according to Matthias. These blocks were 12-inch cubes and were so smooth and polished on the outside that all six sides could be seen as mirrors. And yet they were full of gravel, and because I chipped one of them with my pick, it was plain concrete inside. As I started to timber the room up, Matthias said, it caved in, and I barely escaped. And when I came back after the cave-in, a solid wall of those polished blocks were left exposed 150 yards further down our air core. Another miner struck the same wall, or one very similar. The coal in the mine was probably, which according to the standards of dating methods, would mean that the wall was at least 286 million years old. Now, these are just typical miners and geological experts carbon dating and telling you that these things are 286 million years. Can you fathom that? Now, I know the naysayers that says, well, the Bible says that this earth is 6,000 years old and I'm going to stay with the Bible, glory to God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, why be like the ostrich that sticks your head in the sand and denies the inevitable facts? It don't say that this earth is 6,000 years old. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. We have a starting point from this last age, or the last Adam, and I've done told you that the last Adam that appeared 6,000 years ago was a replacement for somebody that existed prior to him, because the Bible said, be fruitful and replenish the earth. Be fruitful, that means have children and replace what used to exist that don't exist no more. Now, can you comprehend that? Isn't the Bible correct when it says there's a way that seemeth right? If you get locked in trying to defend the Bible, and in doing so, condemn the Bible or make the Bible out to be the way you want to see it, as opposed to the way that they tried to convey the message to you with hidden code words. You say, well, buddy, what does it matter if it's 6,000, 10,000, 20,000, 20 million, or 20 billion? The fact is, if you can get a comprehension that you are not a temporal being, having a temporary experience, that you're an eternal being, having a temporary experience, that you could have existed somewhere before the world was. Now, can you comprehend that? You say, oh, that smacks of reincarnation, Pastor Buddy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Let me bring the Messiah in to record his statement, and let me see if you can believe this. He said that John the Baptist was the spirit of Elijah. Now, we know that John was born in Elizabeth's womb, and so it couldn't have been the flesh body that Elijah had. But he said that it was Elijah. Therefore, the Malachi prophecy of chapter 4 is correct when it says, I will send you Elijah. And the apostle said, well, where's he at? If you're the Messiah, where's Elijah at? He said, well, he's already come and you didn't know him. And then they understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 17. Now, here's the Messiah saying that Elijah existed in a flesh body. He ran from Jezebel. He was translated out. As far as we know, he didn't see death. But the Bible said no man has ascended into heaven, and that's what Elijah did. He ascended up. He was taken and was not, just like Enoch. But the Bible said no man has been taken into heaven except he first come down out of heaven. Now grasp that. Grasp the impact of that statement. No man has ascended up into heaven except he first come down out of heaven. Now, if you're going to heaven, that means that you came from heaven. Are you with me? My sheep will hear my voice. They've been with me from the very beginning. And you say, 6,000 years? The Illinois, State Geological Survey noted that in 1984, that the age of the deposits at 120 feet that they found in Whiteside County, Illinois, would mean that they were at least 50,000 years old. These were spears. 50,000 years old metal spears, and they were embedded now in bedrock that was estimated to be 410 million years old. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these things that we're talking about, well, there's still evidence of worlds before our own. And in October the 8th, 1922, the New York Sunday American newspaper ran a prominent feature by Dr. W.H. Ballow while he was prospecting for fossils in Nevada. Ballow wrote that John T. Reed, a distinguished mining engineer and geologist, stopped suddenly and looked down in utter bewilderment and amazement at a rock near his feet. What Reed had actually stumbled on was, it appeared, a fossilized footprint, and according to Ballow, it was apparently a shoe sole which had turned into stone. There was the outline of at least two-thirds of it, and around the outline ran a well-defined sewn thread, which had appeared attached to the welt of the sole. Further on, there was another line of sewing and an indentation exactly such as would have been made by the bone of the heel rubbing upon the wearing down of the material of which the sole had been made of. Reed took the fossil to New York, where it was examined by a number of eminent scientists. Their conclusions were unanimous. In effect, it was the most remarkable natural imitation of an artificial object they had ever seen. The scientists also agreed that the rock formation was terrestrial in origin, whilst Dr. D.W. Matthew of the American Museum of Natural History declared it a remarkable imitation or a freak of nature. Despite Matthew's dismissal, Reed persisted. He said, "I next got hold of a microphotographer and an analytical chemist," wrote Reed. "The microphoto magnifications are 20 times larger than the specimen itself, showing the minutest detail of thread twisting and wrapped, proving conclusively that the sole of the shoe is not a resemblance, but is strictly the handiwork of man. Even to the naked eye, the threads can be seen distinctively." And guess what? They have admitted that the shoe sole is valid, a genuine fossilization in terrestrial rock, and this period is now generally dated around 213 to 250 million years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, man walking on the earth, 250 million years ago, and you think that we're alone? You don't believe the Bible if you think we are. The Bible says that we have entertained strangers, and to be not forgetful to entertain them. Here's Abraham entertaining Yahweh, Michael, and Gabriel. Now Michael and Gabriel goes over and they destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Yahweh takes Abraham out and swears a covenant to him that he would have children, and that from these children would come the seed of Yahweh, which later became the 12 tribes, which are exclusively Yahweh's children. Exclusively. Your sons of Yahweh. Adam was a son of Yahweh. He was genetically related to Yahweh, the eternal creator. Now, we know that the devil got involved and brought a seed, and the Bible would expose them as being born of the serpent seed. And ladies and gentlemen, it is fascinating to know that there are the gods and the seeds thereof upon planet Earth even today as we speak. Now, remember the Bible talks about watchers. We're going to, in our next series, now we're ending the series tonight, three part. And by the way, we're going to be in Bryson City, North Carolina on Saturday the 18th. We'll be there on Friday night, but we'll have our main service on the Saturday. We'll be in Bryson City on the 18th of July. If you'd care to join us, you need to call for information, and we'd be glad to show you where and when and how to get there. So just call if you'd like to attend. That's only a one-day meeting, but some of the brothers are coming from around the country, just a few, that have planned to make the trip that we know of, but there'll be a meeting there, and it's for Pentecost. Now, remember that on Tuesday, which it will be Pentecost the 21st, that's the actual Pentecost day, keeping it seven Sabbaths and then numbering 50 days, and that's the way we do it, ladies and gentlemen. And there's going to be a total eclipse that's going to last 6.6 minutes. Now, is that significant? Well, we think so, because man is, number is six, and we're going to have a 6.6 minute, 6 minutes and 6 second eclipse total. So you need to attach some significance to this event. And that's what we're doing. We're always watching, we're always praying, we're always seeking, we're always knowing that Yahweh's a strong tower, and the Bible, it displays that the righteous run into it and they are safe. We want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that we love you here tonight, and our time is just about gone. And we want to remind you that you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. And if you would like to know more about our times on the radio where you can listen to us, let me give you the schedule. Now, we'll be on Monday night, and we're planning to have some of the other brothers periodically visit and guest visit to start ministering to you. The witnesses in the Bible said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We'll have various brothers, different ones from time to time, and we'll coordinate with the brothers at the meeting in Bryson City, and they will be coming on periodically to fill in for Pastor Buddy. As we're on five nights a week, we will have one of those nights given exclusively to the brothers to give you witnesses on what they believe. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Now, on Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 10 o'clock, 1 hour, exclusively, the Shepherd's Call on WWRB 3.185. Now, on Wednesday night at 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Pastor Buddy will be on Wednesday night. Now, on Friday night, and that's on 3.185, on Friday night, 9:30 to 10:30 p.m., Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call will be on 3.185. On Saturday, at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I'm at tonight, we'll be on 3.185, and also we'll be broadcasting off of the tower, the transmitting tower, of 5.050. 50-50, as we call it, around the circuit. Everybody knows WWBR, world famous 50-50, and we'd be going south with the transmission. 3.185 goes north, and if you're having trouble hearing us, some people are in Canada, I understand, you need to call Dave at WWRB 3.185. If you need a number, you can call me, and I'd be glad to give it to you. It's listed on his website if you'd like to go up there. But Dave can remedy some of your listening problems by telling you what to do, because he is a radio engineer trained and an efficient reception, and so he can help you out there. He's helped me out in the past and receiving. He told me what to do, and I did it, and it clears up. So you need a professional to tell you if you're having problems. You may have an antenna problem. You may have a radio problem, and Dave could answer that for you. Brother Dave on WWRB at the staff, or one of the aides or the assistants there could help you out. Now, again, we'll be in Bryson City, North Carolina, on the 18th, the weekend of the 18th. We will be celebrating with the brothers and sisters there. And there we will announce the brothers that will be taking over perhaps on Monday night at 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. That way they can get in a bed early, because some of these boys work for a living. But some of the believers are having testimonies. And I'll introduce some of them when we decide who's going to come on and command the Monday night time slot. So you'll be listening for that. It's great news. I'm very excited about it, to get our brethren to come in and give you double witnesses. And maybe some of the sisters will be invited at some time just to give their witness and their testimonies around the world of the message of Yahweh and His name glorified through baptism and remission of sins, which the Messiah said was essential for your salvation, because if you're not born of the water and the Spirit, you're not going to go back into the spirit realm from where He came. You've got to be clean. So you won't receive nothing that's not clean. It has to be clean, and baptism is a symbol. It's more than symbolic. It's a necessity to be born from above of the water and the Spirit. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you've waded out into a water and you've raised your hand towards heaven and you've had a prophet or a preacher or a teacher or a witness lay hands upon you and anoint you and bury you in the great, magnanimous, magnificent name of Yahweh, which is a name above every name. And I know the devil don't like that. I know he tries to bring in other names, but you can be assured in the Hebrew there's only one name given under heaven to be saved in. And you can read it. It's right there in clear plain. Some people try to change it. But ladies and gentlemen, it's there in Hebrew. In the original language it was written. It wasn't written Lord. It wasn't written God. It was written by the magnificent name of Yahweh, that every knee shall bow in time to this great manifested name, although it's not too popular. Although that the devil and his angels cringe every time they hear it, because this name is above every name. And to that they curse. They're bitter and they're resentful. And they'll send you a strong spirit to lead you away from this great name. Don't be caught up in the spirits that want to lead you away from the name. Seek heaven and earth as a witness that will draw you into the name. Repent and be baptized in it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you around the circuit. I'll be back Monday night with the Shepherd's Call Ministry with Pastor Buddy. Join me Monday night for the service, and we will start a brand new series. Now, I'm gonna get into the reptilian edge of this thing and show you the fallen ones and what their plan is and how they are purposely deceiving people. And ladies and gentlemen, the devil is a wise and crafty serpent. He's hid himself for so many generations to keep his reptilian covenant a secret and reveal it to the exclusive reptilians who run this earth. But there's coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, that he will be revealed. He's coming on the earth because he has a short time to work. We need to be prepared for that. And so this next series that we're starting Monday night will be dedicated to the cause of preparing you for what's coming in just a few years down the road. May Yahweh richly bless you. I'll see you Monday night around the world live on WWRB 3.185 with the Shepherd's Calling, Pastor Buddy. Yahweh bless you. I love you a whole bunch.
I could see.